Universal law.
Creation is ideal. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Universal law, creation is ideal. Now, I've given you the essence, totality, all of it. There are people who go around saying that they're an ascended master, or I'm an ascended master, or people are ascended masters. And what silly things to say, you know? If you go into Wikipedia, and all of you have the possibility of going into Wikipedia and looking up ascended masters, and look at the Wikipedia description of it, and go right on down the line, and you will find one of the greatest problems that humanity has had throughout its tenure. What humanity has had is having their ascended masters falling down. And it's really interesting. All these ascended masters are falling down. Now, even Saint Germain is probably one of the silliest ascended masters that exist. Not because Saint Germain's silly, but because people say he did things that he didn't do. They say he crushed stone in his hand to make diamonds for the King Louis the 14th so that he'd have money to pay his way and stuff like that. Now, an ascended master would not have to do it. Ascended master wouldn't have to do that, would he?
No.
What would ascended master do? Ascended master is not the mammy, is not the nanny, is not the caregiver for humanity. An ascended master, according to the Wikipedia definition in its purest form, does not care for anything except universal law. And it does nothing but live in universal law. Now, throughout the history of mankind, especially through the Buddhist history that we've learned about and the other things that we've learned about. No, they have hundreds of ascended masters, hundreds of them, perhaps thousands of them, if people can just remember them, you know. And what do these ascended masters do? Well, what the people call an ascended master is someone who helps them with their life. Someone who helps them with their world, someone who helps them with their living. And this is great. Now, how can you be an ascended master living by universal law, knowing universal law says creation is ideal? What is there to change, to improve, to uplift in creation if it's ideal? Now, in the Wikipedia definition and article, which was quite fascinating, I'm going to read it again because I have to be aware of what people think, not what is the truth. But what people think, they came to the ascended masters and they said, help us with this here, help us with that here, help us with this healing, help us with this need for money, help us with this stuff. And the ascended masters, who were not really ascended masters, they said, okay, now, we try to make Jesus fit into the ascended master category that the ascended masters have for, that the people have for the ascended masters. We try to have Jesus be a healer, that he raised the dead, that he raised the sick. He didn't do any of those things. He said he didn't do it. He said it's done unto them according to their belief and all that kind of stuff. But people lop on him and lop on him and lop on him, especially our friends the Catholics and our friends the Protestants and our friends the Christians and our friends, all of these things, and wherever you might find him. What do they lop on him? That he healed. And he said, Lazarus only sleepeth. He said, there is no death. He gave us all of these things, but we don't want to believe it because it seems so terrible that that's the end. That's the end. Now, Another thing they like to say about ascended masters, which I find very charming, they try to say that ascended masters, the real ascended masters, have lived many lifetimes, and they have risen in awareness to the realization that they have this quality of ascension about them. Now, that's lovely. That's lovely. I told you, I used to play chess with Ingeborg occasionally, and Ingeborg would play chess for a while, and then after a while she got tired of playing chess by my rules or the rules that we play chess by, and she said, this is the new rules, these are the new rules. And I said, okay, Ingeborg, I'm game to play any rules you want to play. Doesn't matter to me. And then we play for a while, she got tired of that, and she said, let's change the rules again. Well, you see, this is what humanity does. It changes the rules to fit its individual feelings, its individual attitudes, its individual nature. And what a silly thing to do. Does the universal law ever change?
No.
Does it, Rex?
No.
Is the universal law the idea that creation is ideal?
Yeah.
Is there anything to change in creation? All right, now. What is it all about? It does not evolve or change in any way. It does not evolve or change in any way. So therefore, to wit, ipso facto, all ascended masters do not evolve, do not become aware of their ascension, their mastership. They always were that, whether they like it or not. And of course, ascended masters don't even think about it. So, when does one become aware that he is an ascended master? Never. Never. You never become aware that you are an ascended master because you're living in the idea that creation is ideal. There is nothing to evolve or change in any way. I've been teaching that all of the time of the University of Healing. All is. I've been teaching that God is not a babysitter. God does not run a nursery for people who are trying to find who they are. You see, every time we play the game of human, in preference to playing the game of divine, what are we doing? What we're doing is we're not realizing how wonderful we are. And every time you look at another person and you don't see them as an ascended master, then you aren't. If you look at him and see him as an ascended master, you don't say anything. That's the most natural thing in the world. But it's the most unnatural thing in the world for people not to be an ascended master. It's the most unnatural thing in the world for anyone not to be an ascended master. Now, from a human point of view, I say, Ellen, you are a man. And Ellen say, yes, I'm mankind. Yes, I am the universal man. That's true. But no, Ellen, you're a man. You know, you have the physiognomy of a man. And she says, well, I really never, you never saw me naked. That's why you call me that. And I said, no, Ellen, you are a man. You have all the attitudes of a man, all the images of a man, and you're a man. Well, Ellen says, that's because you're a man looking at me and seeing me reflecting your attitudes, your images, and your way. Now, if you were a woman looking at me, you would see me as a woman. You would see me as the most delightful woman. Now, Ellen says, how do I evolve? How do I change from being a woman to being a man? Or how do I change from being a woman to being universal? How can I be the allness, the absolute? Well, now, you can't. You can never evolve. You can never change. You can never come into a new awareness of who you are because you already are it. Now, we watched this chess game. What was the name of the show?
Searching for Bobby Fischer.
Okay. It was a charming show. Charming. The young man who played the lead was just absolutely outstanding. Mm-hmm. Well trained. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling it was pretty much his nature, too. Mm-hmm. It was pretty much his nature because he couldn't be so excellent as an actor to put that across. It had to be from his heart. And so, we watched the show, and searching for Bobby Fischer. Bobby Fischer is a fantastic chess person who has been very, very good all through his lifetime, and he disappears now and then, taking a break for himself. And so, well, this young man, they wanted to teach him to hate so that he could destroy his opponent. They wanted to teach him to do anything to manipulate. And they lost the message. The mother said, hey, he's a boy. He's a good boy. He has sensitivity. What's the word?
Decency.
He has decency. Decency. Now, what would you call that? A human word, right? A very human word. Now, this boy was on the edge of being a fabulous chess player, on the edge. Now, his decency could carry him into the human aspects where he has to manipulate these things to be there, or his decency could hold him in the feeling that he listens within and he knows the right moves to make. He does not have to look at the chessboard and he does not have to play the board. He plays inside. Now, all truly great team players, and I don't mean team where you have two people, you're playing a... Oh, yes, team players. So, where you have up there, two people in chess, two people in checkers, two people in playing tennis or something, you know. Now, you can play your game, and you can play it in such a way that mentally you just ace the other person right out of it. You just are there. And the other person doesn't have a chance. Or you can play the game from inside yourself, knowing the ideal game with the universal law where nothing changes. And what do? You always make the right move. The move was listed by numbers and letters, not by the board. Remember? He said, his teacher said, stay away from the board. Go into your thinking. But the teacher had other attitudes that were taught to him over his lifetime, and he tried to teach it to the boy, and the boy said, no, I will not hate. I will not play the game I play the game for fun. I'm playing the game because it's a challenge. It's a delight. Other people like that too. The Indy's 500 on the racetrack. These guys driving their cars, they're doing it for fun. Oh, they're doing it for winning, too, and you play chess to win, too. But they're doing, because their skill, their inner skill, how can the car handle this? How can the car move around these curves? How can I do this? There's a genius there. It's not something new. It's a universal law. Now, a master, on the other hand, does not play the human game. One of the statements in Wikipedia has these various organizations saying, An ascended master takes his body with him and is not heard from anymore. Nobody knows him anymore. Nobody talks to him. He's not there anymore. He's doing his thing. When you're an ascended master, do you want to have the job of taking care of humanity? No way. When you're an ascended master, do you want to have the job of taking care of humanity?
No.
No way. When you're in a master, do you want to have the job of taking care of humanity?
No.
Why? Because humanity hasn't let go of the chess game and played from the mind. Played it from the intelligence, from the thought. Now, how do you play it from your thought? How do you play by that which is within you? How do you do that? Well, you don't do it by looking for ascended masters. You don't do it by looking to see where the universal law is or is not. You don't do that. What you do is you look within yourself and you say, I know that I know that I know. Now, the boy had to learn that lesson in learning to play that game. But the black fellow was teaching him real snappy and fast and hard because it was fun. And what was it? What was going on? No mental thinking. Just knowing. And they didn't have time to think. They didn't have time to go through the mental gyrations of a human being. God Sadak. They went through the gyrations of existence on the universal law. And they lived it. Now, that was quite an amazing movie. It was quite amazing that we saw it last night, just after we had an awareness of people thinking that we're universal, masters, ascended masters, you know, whatever, silliness, you know. And we know Elizabeth Clare Prophet, we know Byzant, we know all of these different teachers of these different philosophies over the theosophical attitudes for years and years and years. And they're all playing the same game. But you see, only one, not one, but one made it his major premise, and when he made it his major premise, nobody understood it. And what was the premise? There is no God. There is no God. Now, there is no father. There is no mother. There is no family. That is earthly, human attitudes. It has nothing to do with the universal law. In the universal law, all exists in its ideal state. Now you say, how very uninteresting. How very unrewarding and unattractive. Why would anyone want to live in a universe that doesn't have emotions? It doesn't have attitudes, that doesn't have feelings, that doesn't have a possession, that doesn't have touchability and judgments and stuff like that. Who wants to live in that? Well, obviously, you all do. Because you know about the universal law. I have not taught you about that for the first time today. You know about the universal law, and you know it's true. But you would like to have a feeling. I say to you, Ellen, how is our dear student friend Heinz? And Heinz is going through some mental attitudes. And you say, well, I said, Ellen, you are an ascended master. How is Heinz? Oh, whole and perfect, fantastic. Ellen, is there any other? Is there any other way to look at it? No. Does Heinz have a right to be anything in our consciousness except fantastic? Does he?
No.
God said, dunk. All right. Do you have any privilege to be anything in your consciousness other than your universal law, your ideal? When you think about your children and your grandchildren and their activities and their lives and their stupidity and their brilliance, what do you think? You think of their genius. They are always following their inner calling. They're always following their ideal. They're fantastic. They're wealthy, healthy, happy, hearty, and all that good stuff. And that's because that's what you are. Now, do you need to have evidence on the outer that that's the way they are? Yes. You need to have evidence on the outer. So that means you have a clean heart. You, with your universal law and knowing that creation is ideal, you don't look past the illusion that they're playing, because that's just an illusion. Ellen, how long does the rain stay here on the mountain? It comes pitter-patter, pitter-patter, and the sun comes out and bloop, it draws it back up again, you know? Some goes in the ground, some goes here, some goes there, but bloop, it's only an illusion, a temporary illusion, and you can create that illusion any way you want. If you choose to be a creator of those illusions, you can create an ideal circumstance, which you call ideal. That there's always a little moisture in everything, and everything, this is like, not like a jungle, but like a beautiful Midwestern, not Midwestern, but I mean northern type atmosphere, you know, where there's enough rain for the trees and the flowers and the birds. You don't have to have irrigation. Yeah. We are the creators of our experience, and our creation is ideal, and so therefore, we don't have to evolve man, animals, we don't have to evolve the land from barren to fertile to whatever, we don't have to change anything. All we can do is to realize all is done now, and we are enjoying it now. We are enjoying it now. There is no otherness. Now, is this what you would like your ascended master to teach you? Sure would. Is this the truth, the universal truth that stands forth regardless of any appearances? Yes, it is. Am I saying I am better than you are, or I am more aware than you are of anything? No. I'm merely saying to you, Sylvia Enns, I'm merely saying to you, 2 times 2 is 4. And you don't say, oh, Herb, you're an ascended master. Oh, Herb, you're the greatest teacher in the world. Oh, Herb, you're so fantastic. You don't say a stupid thing like that. You just say, I want to learn mathematics, and Herb is teaching me mathematics, and he's doing a very good job of it because he's making me feel so fulfilled that I know it already. I know it already. Now, Sylvia, you're learning 2 times 2 is 4. In a month, you're going to have everything because you're learning the foundation. And you don't learn everything by studying it. You learn it by knowing that you know it. And when you know that you know it, then what happens to you? You use it or abuse it. In the movie last night, they tried to get the boy to abuse it because part of it was hate, hate. And he says, I cannot hate anybody. I don't hate myself. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate you for teaching me about hate. I don't hate anything. I like me. Now, where are you? What kind of ascended master is teaching you? And what makes a master ascended? He takes his body with him and he disappears. So, if you ever meet an ascended master, look twice.
He's not around.
He's not around. He took his body and he went off to his infinite allness. We say, look beyond to your original purity and integrity. What's your original purity and integrity? Is it still there?
Yeah, of course.
Did it ever go away?
No.
Why did you take your attention away from it at any time?
That's the point.
Why did you think you're an ascended master and you're so great? When you think of Madame Blavatsky and all of her groups and writing all of these things and actually they're trying to get back to the basic, but their people don't let them because they worship them. They worship Madame Blavatsky. They worship this, they worship that. And Madame Blavatsky can choose the masters because she knows how to pick them. She has foresight and understanding of that. And bless her. I mean, she's a super lady. Super lady. And these super minds, Elizabeth Clare Prophet's a super mind. But she's allowing herself to be tangled up with some people who've got some strange ideas. And the ideas are thought strange by everybody. By her too, I'm sure. But you see, I believe, and I know enough about Elizabeth Clare Prophet, that she is spending so much of her time communicating, as she calls it, with these masters who've gone before. And she gives transmissions from them, telling what they have said and what they're saying. And the beautiful thing about Elizabeth Clare Prophet is she is so transparent. You look at what she says that the masters are saying, and what are they saying? They're saying human things. They're not saying universal law and creation is ideal. There's nothing to change. They're saying, how can we change the world? How can we bring peace on earth? Well, you're doing the same thing. How can we bring peace on earth? How can we have wealth? How can we have health? We have Heinz as a good example. Do we have the belief that Heinz is whole and perfect? Absolutely. Will he demonstrate that in his life and his way? He doesn't have the right to do anything else but be his ideal self. Now, why are you looking at him and seeing him less than his ideal self? Because he tells you about him. Because he tells you, oh, great master, that's what he's saying to you. Oh, great master, speak your word that I am whole and perfect. Well, we are. We don't know Heinz any other way. We hang him up here. We hang him up here on the wall. And we look at him and we say, hi, Heinz, how are you? Oh, you sure are a handsome guy. You know? And what do we say about him? He's whole and perfect. He's fantastic. He's glorious. There's nothing for him not to be whole and perfect about. You understand? No. Are you ready to walk the universal law? Are you ready to see all creation,
whole and perfect,
ideal.
Are you ready to see all creation ideal? Or are you ready to be a pseudo-master who says, you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect? Why are you saying you're whole and perfect?
Because I don't see them whole and perfect.
Because you don't see him. And if you see him whole and perfect, what do you say? Well, hi, Holmberg, you're fantastic. You know, oh my gosh, you just are radiant, you're glorious. You know, do you see everyone in your world like that? Yeah. When your son calls and tells you he's got a headache, do you say, oh, I see you, Holmberg? Or do you say, hey, Diego, Diego, and all those arm gestures that the Italians like to use and you like to use too. Diego, who you been talking to? I see you, fantastic, you're glorious, you're wonderful, fantastic. Diego, and we don't say this, just Jesus says this, go and sin no more. Have no more negative thoughts in your mind. Have no more negative attitudes in your mind. Go and sin no more. And we don't say change, we don't say anything. We don't even say go and sin no more. Because people think sin, sex go together, you know. And they forget that sin is making a mistake. Pure and simple. Making a mistake. Now, who are you? Where are you? What is your life all about? Are you an ascended master?
Yes.
That's right. How come I can see you?
I must see another master.
So in other words, if you are a master and I can see you, then I must be a master.
Yes.
And vice versa.
Right.
Okay, now, if that is true, what does a master see?
Another master.
Creation is ideal. What does the master see?
Ideal.
Anything evolving, anything changing, yeah. Anything... Is Heinz changing?
No.
Heinz is a fabulous guy. Is Monica changing?
No. She's ideal.
What's Monica doing?
Having a ball.
She's ideal. Monica is a master.
Of course.
Now, are you a master?
Uh-huh.
Because if you are going to say that about somebody else, you have to be that.
Yes.
Now, whenever you have the discourtesy to say someone is not a master, what you are doing is you're saying, I wish I were.
Oh.
They were. They wish they were a master. Now, I say to them, the very fact that you think another person is not a master shows how exquisite you are as a master. Not that you're correct or incorrect, but that you're thinking about being an ascended master. You're mm-hmm. thinking in this high level of consciousness. Mm-hmm. Oh, you may have a little kink here and there, a little problem here and there, a little worry here and there, but you just have it temporarily. And you are an ascended master. You are glorious. And I will never think anything other than that about anybody in my world, any student who comes to the university. Or, as I said to Ellen the other day, it's such a joy to work with these prisoners because here they are. They're in prison. They're in their non-scholastic monastery. And as they are there, they are wakening up to the fact that it's what's inside of them that counts. And they're not going to change that inside of themselves. What they're going to do is they're going to live that inside of themselves.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. Mm. Can we do any less? So, I say to you, universal law, this is what it's all about. Not the law of cause and effect. That's very human. And it's for humans. But the universal law is that all is
ideal. Now.
And forevermore. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.